This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. Welcome to our worship together. We're glad you're tuning in, and we pray that you will know that God is with you as you worship, whether that's at home or on holiday. We continue to make plans to move our worship from online and virtual to here together in one place. Continue to pray that we will be able to do this safely and confidently. We are so thankful that we have this large building and we can social distance really easily. And in our halls, there are many programs that we can have because of the rooms that are available for Jammy Dodgers, Jam, Connect and Refuge. So they're all going to be hopefully happening again. I'm so looking forward to moving away from the screen and lead us in worship together in one place. So we pray for the planning and the preparation. Please pray that God would give us wisdom, foresight, and a real heart to serve and care for one another as we're going to gather together after this really strange and unusual and unexpected break from being together in one place as church. Kirk Session is meeting this week, and we hopefully will be able to confirm the 6th of September as our date for resuming here. But check out and keep an eye on our emails, the website and our Facebook page. As we begin our worship together, we're going to use the words of Psalm 118 as we pray. So let's still ourselves and quieten ourselves, and let's turn our thoughts and our minds to God as we pray. The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection, and with him I am safe. He protects me like a shield. He defends me and keeps me safe. I call to the Lord and he saves me from my enemies. Praise the Lord. Lord God, we thank you that you are God and you keep us safe. We thank you that we are not alone in the circumstances and all that's happening in this year, but that you are with us through every unexpected moment, every change, every challenge, everything that's going on. You're with us. You're there. We're hearing a lot about being safe. We're reminded about washing our hands, wear face coverings, social distancing, all to keep us safe. But we know in this world, in our lives, only in you and with you are we truly safe. You are our protector. You are our strong fortress around us, a shield before us. We love you, Lord, because you keep us safe. When we are with you, we fear nothing. You make us strong and you give us peace. In you, we are confident in a world that is not safe. And we thank you that you're God of heaven and earth. Nothing can defeat you, destroy you, overcome you, or challenge your rule and your reign, because you alone are God, God of heaven and earth. Fill our hearts with this knowledge. May we know you this day. You are Lord of all, and with you we are safe. Knowing this, we bless you, God. We bless you as we worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everyone. My name's Peter Stafford, and I'm going to be leading prayers this morning. This morning we're going to be praying for others, people that we know, and then also maybe people that we don't know but we know of, but people that we want to lift before God at this time. And then at the very end we're going to pray for ourselves. And I know we're all apart this morning, we're all in different places. I'm going to try and make this a little bit more interactive, and my hope is that in doing so we can all pray together. So let's pray. Firstly, Can I encourage you to think of someone who's going through a difficult time? Maybe they're just not sure which path to take. Maybe they're not sure where to find help. Maybe they're not sure who to talk to. So if you would just bring them to mind now, whoever it might be, and ask that Jesus would fill them with strength. And then can I encourage you to think of someone for whom the pandemic and the changes that it's brought over the past 6 months or so have radically changed what they do. Maybe it's how they work or how they interact with others. Maybe it's just the sorts of choices that they've had to make. So think of that person, bring them to mind now and ask that Jesus may be the source of renewed peace and patience just to deal with whatever is in front of them as a result of this pandemic that we've had. So then, can I encourage you to think of someone who's about to undergo some change in their lives? It might be kids or teachers going back to school. It might be someone going off to university. It might be a new work situation. It might be not having work when there has been work before. It might be a return to work after a furlough or something like that. So just someone who's either going through or about to go through some change, bring them to mind and just ask that Jesus would fill them with hope, and that when they're not sure or they're fearful, that Jesus would be the one that they turn to and a real source of strength. And then next up, if I could encourage you to think of someone whose friendship or support, and this might even be a family member, has been important in the past, helpful both ways, but the relationship just isn't what it once was. Just encourage you to bring them to mind and to ask that Jesus help show you how just to get that relationship better again. So broadening it out a wee bit, if I could encourage you to think of a leader or a politician or leaders or politicians facing big decisions, complex choices, just bring them to mind and ask that Jesus would inspire their thinking, that they'd be motivated to act not just for party political or selfish or ideological reasons, but that they would be motivated to act for the common good. And finally, if I could encourage you to think of yourself, what's important in life, your relationship with Jesus, please just ask that Jesus would be with you and that he'd be a guide to your decision making, your friendships, your relationships, and what you prioritize today and every other day. So just take a little time to pray for yourself and where you are. So, Father, thank you that although we're all apart this morning, together we can bring these many different requests to you, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The reading is taken from Psalm 134, verses 1 to 3 from the English Standard Version. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Amen.
In the church I belong to in England, the pastor every Sunday began our time of worshipping together with a prayer. And the words he used often stopped me in my tracks because for a long time I thought it was a really strange prayer. He would often pray, God, we bless you. Lord God, may we bless you as we gather to worship here this morning in Jesus' name. To me, the whole idea of blessing God just seemed pretty odd because in my mind, to bless someone was to like invoke some divine goodness or favour upon them. I believe God is the source of all blessing, and the Bible reminds us of this, especially in the Psalms. So if a blessing is divine goodness from God, then am I asking God to bless himself? That just seemed a bit odd, and I figured blessing was God's domain, not my domain. So I struggled with this prayer, God, we bless you. And in my mind, to bless meant to offer something to God. To offer something to someone, something of goodness that someone would benefit from and enjoy. And I wondered, what could I give to God, the maker of heaven and earth? What would be a blessing that God could possibly need? You know, we all have someone in our family who is impossible to buy for. Buying another packet of socks, a plant, a bar of chocolate can just be pretty unimaginative. And you kind of feel like apologizing when you present the gift to them, this ordinary gift. They have everything they need. They have the resources to buy what they want. And God is like that times infinity. God is completely self-sufficient, doesn't need anything. So how can we bless him? How can we pray a prayer, God, we bless you? For a long time, God, we bless you was an easy prayer for me to listen to and to join in with every Sunday morning. And as a result, I had a long, honest conversation on and off with God about blessing. Who is blessed? How am I blessed? How can I be a blessing? How can the church be a blessing in our city, in our businesses, schools, neighbourhoods? How can I bless you, God? How can anyone bless you, God? Now, you'd think coming from this island that on our tradition of Celtic blessings that we'd have little to think about and few questions on blessings. Others may say we've mastered the art of blessing. But I dare to disagree because our tradition of Celtic prayers means we have inherited a way of thinking about blessing as solely something good that we invite God to do for us or others, and that's it. But my pastor's prayer in England and Psalm 134 that Dorothy read for us and you may have in front of you now challenges this narrow view of blessing and invites us to think of blessing as something more, something bigger, something greater. Psalm 134 says, come bless the Lord. Twice it says, bless the Lord. We find these words first spoken in Genesis chapter 9, verse 26, by Noah. Noah says, God, we bless you. After the devastation of the flood and as Noah's family resettled in the land, God blessed Noah and promised to never again destroy the earth. In response, Noah said, God, we bless you. And what we find in these words is Noah committing his life to God's plans and purposes. Noah was saying, our lives are yours, God. May our lives delight you and bring you joy. Noah was committing himself to relationship with God, and it pleased God. God blessed Noah so he would be a blessing, and in turn, Noah blessed God. I suppose, in essence, to worship God is to bless God, and that is why my pastor in England began our time together with the prayer, God, we bless you. Psalm 134 is an invitation to be with God in a blessed relationship. Jesus illustrates this when he tells a story about a father and a son in Luke chapter 15. It's famously known as the parable of the prodigal son. And the son returns to his father after foolishly and selfishly squandering, wasting all his inheritance. And the father's response is, well, pretty shocking. Jesus says the father unashamedly runs out towards his wayward son returning home, and he hugs him and he kisses him and he embraces him. The father cannot contain his delight in his son returning home because he thought he was dead. And despite all the hurt and sadness that his son's absence had caused, he orders a special robe to be placed on his son's back, the family ring on the son's finger, and a feast. The father was delighted that his son returned because he put his faith in his father's character of goodness. And he boldly approached his father after everything he'd done. The father delighted in the fact that his son believed he was a good father. Merciful, kind, forgiving, loving. And in returning home, the son acted upon that belief. So the father was blessed that day that his son was willing to return home. And the son was blessed that day by the goodness of his father. Jesus told this story, shocking as the father's love was, to illustrate that this is what God is like when we approach him. God is blessed when we believe in his goodness and act on that belief like the prodigal son, seeking him out and approaching him. God is blessed when we live in a deep, abiding awareness of God and his benefits in our lives. God is blessed when we live in a deep awareness of his grace. God is blessed when we live in a deep awareness of his healing presence. God is blessed when we live in a deep awareness of his restoration. God is blessed when we live in a deep awareness of his covenant faithfulness. God is blessed when we live in a deep awareness of his generous provision. God is blessed when we live out of our awareness of the goodness of God in what we do and in what we say. Now, some of us think that we can't bless God. We don't think we can bless God. We're not good enough to bless God. And you're right if that is what you think. We're not good enough because of our sin, none of us are. For this reason, when this psalm was written, the Jewish pilgrims who made their way to the temple in Jerusalem would have brought sacrifices with them or enough money to pay for a dove or a lamb to be a sacrifice, an offering to God to atone for their sin so that they could enter into the holiness of God's presence in that place. As we come before God, we're all too aware that we are not good enough. Jesus was once asked by a young man, how good is good enough? Jesus replied, only God is good. Only God is good enough. For that reason, only God's Son could be the perfect, spotless sacrifice once and for all. It took the shocking love of Jesus on the cross, more shocking than the love of the Father for the prodigal son. Jesus, the perfect spotless sacrifice, dying for us and our lack of goodness, so we may be before God our Father, clothed in the goodness of Jesus because of his shocking love for us. Because of Jesus, we can freely enter into God's presence and bless God for who he is. This is an act of faith in Jesus Christ when we say, God, we bless you. To bless God, though, also means to thank God. Being thankful isn't something we find easy to do or comes naturally. Every child has to be taught to say thank you, and prompted and reminded and even questioned afterwards, and did you say thank you? In Jewish tradition, there's a religious practice called brachot, to try and place thankfulness right into the heart of the life of every Jew. Brachot is saying at least 100 blessings a day, taking thankfulness to a whole new level. Psalm 134, thankfully, isn't proposing that we start keeping count of all the times we bless God for his goodness in our lives. But Psalm 134 does remind us that we need to bless God for his goodness. I mean, how often do you go through your day and find it easier to complain to God or complain about God than to thank God? And we live in a culture of complaint. We complain about the weather, the traffic, the media, the politicians, our schools, our parents, our children, the church, the minister, me. Isn't it indicative, though, of a culture of complaint that we have a national company, Ofcom, that regulates our TV, radio, mobile phones, broadband, all of these aspects of communication in our lives, and the majority of what Ofcom does is respond to our complaints. This culture, a culture of complaint, impacts our lives, our faith, and our relationship with God. So we find it easier to complain than to give thanks and bless. I mean, what does that say about what's in our hearts? Psalm 134 is a call to live differently, to be a people of blessing, not complaining and cursing. For pilgrims on the road to Jerusalem, who would have first recited this psalm, for these pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem, up to Mount Zion, to worship God in the holy place in the temple, they've been travelling the roads that led to Jerusalem, walking for days and weeks. And they face sunstroke, dehydration, exhaustion from lack of sleep, threat of wild animals. They travelled knowing there were bandits and robbers on the hills around them. They had limited money and limited supplies. They may have been struggling to find reasons to give thanks to God, but wouldn't have struggled to complain about something. The stony ground, the poor weather, the cold nights, the wind, the lack of fresh water. I know there are times when we all struggle to be genuinely thankful because we're going through some pretty awful stuff. Struggling with illness, a messy relationship, struggling with the demands of work or the lack of work, struggling with our health or the health of a loved one, struggling with grief, struggling with plans and dreams in ruins. What if, in spite of these struggles, we chose to say, God, we bless you? This would be a simple act of faith, wouldn't it? God, I'm struggling to see your goodness, but nevertheless, I know it's there. I know you're there. So God, I bless you for your goodness and for being with me. This is what Psalm 134 for is. It's a prayer for us to use. A prayer asking God to make known his goodness when it's sometimes hard to make out. A prayer that opens the door to God's perspective on life, the world, and in particular, our own situation and what we're facing. A prayer that thanks God for being God as we are not God, and trusting that he will bring us through our troubles. A prayer that opens the door for God to do a work of goodness in our hearts that have been filled with complaint and grumbling, frustration, sorrow and anger. By the time the pilgrims would have arrived in Jerusalem, they'd been tired and weary. Many arrived in the middle of the night because they would have found shelter during the day and the midday sun, and they preferred to travel early evening. Psalm 134 tells us, they stand in the house of the Lord at night. They stand by night in the house of the Lord and lift up their hands and bless the Lord. Now, why could that not wait till the morning? Why not get to sleep, some sleep, and then go to the temple? Why the urgency? Well, because the very reason they travelled the journey, they'd made the effort, they'd endured all the challenges to worship God in this holy place, and for these believers and seekers it was special. It was such a privilege to be in this dedicated place, the temple. Nowhere else could they experience God's presence uninterrupted, with few distractions, in the company of other believers and seekers. In being there, they marked their belonging to God's people and their commitment to God. They immersed themselves in that holy place. The smell of the incense from the candles, the sound of quiet prayers being spoken, the sight of Solomon's great temple with the carvings and decoration, all celebrating God who made heaven and earth. The Gospels even tell us that on one occasion, Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem praying at night. So it wasn't unusual to find people in the candlelit temple. Why, though, not wait until the morning? Well, God delights in us when we can't wait to be in his presence. When we are willing to make sacrifices, make the effort, and prioritize God and being in his presence. These pilgrims journeyed far on a difficult path, facing many trials, but it was all for God, all for him, to bless God. As God's people, that's what you and I do every week. We journey from Monday to Saturday through what can be difficult days, facing trials at work, in family situations, with friends, our health, in just the general circumstances of post-lockdown and the stresses there. But if we live, if we journey each week and life and in life, trusting him, looking to him, relying upon him, guided by him, it's all for God. It's all to be a blessing for God and to God. This is the heart attitude that blesses God. This is the heart attitude that the words of Psalm 134 are expressing. The heart of the one who looks to God. Even in the darkness of the night, we bless God. We say, God, we bless you. As we continue to adjust to living with the effects and the ongoing changes brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic, let's not forget who God is. Let us be a Psalm 134, a reminder to the world, the Lord is God of heaven and earth, and his goodness extends throughout heaven and earth. We, his people, are called to share and reveal that goodness of God. Psalm 134 is an invitation to be part of that. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. I pray that you and I will pray that prayer that I was at one point unwilling and reluctant to pray. God, we bless you. And I pray that you would live out that prayer so that everything you do and say is driven by this God, I bless you prayer. Let's pray now.
Lord, we do bless you. You are the God of heaven and earth, but we thank you that just as the pilgrims met you in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, by your Holy Spirit we can meet you where we are. And living in your presence today, God, we bless you. For some of us who are enjoying your goodness, we can identify many ways you're good and your goodness is so evident. However, some of us are choosing to bless you as we live in times of darkness and trouble. Some of us bless you in the night. But knowing who you are, our faithful, loving, mighty and good, good Father God, we thank you that your word reveals this. Psalm 134 gives us words to acknowledge that we bless you. We thank you. And in Jesus, we see the best of your goodness. Thank you that you receive us, sinners saved by grace, prodigal sons and daughters returning to you to know your goodness in our lives. May we make this goodness known to others. May we be your church that is a blessing in our streets, our city, in the months ahead as the impact of COVID-19 pandemic affects jobs, incomes, education, travel, freedom, hopes and dreams. Let us not forget your goodness. When we call in your goodness, we're calling in you, the God of heaven and earth, Lord of all. It's in this name, your name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.